بسم الله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. So we resume with our discussion of the prayer and specifically the Jama'ah prayer. And I think our last meeting was a while back, maybe about 2 months ago or more, when we discussed this subject, even though we met a number of times after that. But our discussion was not in this matter. So now we go back and try to cover more of the fiqh issues related to prayer. And we pick up from where we left off in last time, where we were talking about the way that the jama'ah, people in jama'ah, would stand if there are only two of them. And I think that's where we last time got. And that if there are two only, then the ma'moon, the one who is following, stands to the right of the imam and level with him, bihidai, which means level with him and not behind him. Some of the madhab say that he steps a little bit behind the imam, but that's not, doesn't have evidence, Allahu alam. So he should stand to at his level, as in Sahih al-Bukhari. So now we continue from that. The next title here is Al-Ithnani fasa'idan yaqumani saffan khalf al-imam. If there are two or more people, then they form a line or a row behind the imam. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليصلي فجئت فقمت عن يساري فأخذ بيدي فأدارني حتى أقامني عن يمينه ثم جاء جبار بن صخر فقام عن يسار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخذ بأيدينا جميعا فدفعنا حتى أقامنا خلفه. This is recorded by Muslim, Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, which means Jabir is saying, I came to pray with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was praying by himself, so I came and stood to his left. He took me and moved me so that I was on his right side. And we know that in another report, it was from Jabir or from Ibn Abbas, one of these two. He says, and probably it was Ibn Abbas, if I remember correctly, it was Ibn Abbas. He says, I stood on the left side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, it's like the hadith that we read last time. He says, but we didn't read it, that particular one. He said, I stood on his left, so he held me by my ear and pulled me from behind him until he had me stand on his right. So this is what should be done. If somebody stands by mistake on the left of the imam should move him from behind him, not from in front of him, because otherwise he will be passing between the imam and the sutra. So move him from behind him until he is on his right. So, and that is what must have been the situation with Jabir. So he says, I came to pray with him, I stood on his left side, he held me by the hand and moved me until he put me on his right side. Then another man, Jabbar bin Sakhr, his name, he has a very tough name. Jabbar means powerful and Sakhr means rock. Jabbar, tough son of rock, that's what it means. So Jabbar bin Sakhr came and stood on the left side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he held us by the hand, both of us, and pushed us until we became behind him. So he pushed them behind him when there were two of them. So this shows that if there are two, more, two or more people, they should stand behind. They cannot stand on the same level with the imam. This has an exception that we will come to it, inshallah, which is when women are praying together, just women. We get to this, inshallah. What if there is only a man, imam, one man as an imam, one, the imam is a man, of course, and a woman praying with him? In this case, as is reported by Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla bihi wa bi ummihi aw khalatih. قال فأقامني عن يمينه وأقام المرأة خلفنا. Which means he led us in the prayer. He, which means Anas, and his mother or his aunt. He's not. He was not sure, Anas. Or it's either that it happened. He reported this report so many years that he was not sure whether it was his mother or his sister, or that the one who was reporting from Anas had this doubt. So it could be either one of the two, because you know that Anas lived many, many years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and he was a little boy when he, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. He didn't probably even reach 20 years of age. So, anyways. And his mother is Sulaim, his aunt. I don't remember her name, but she's one of the well-known Sahabiyat that was also close to the Prophet ﷺ. So he's saying that there were two men and a woman, and the way Rasulullah ﷺ made the lines is such that he prayed, he had others pray next to him, and with the, as we described, when there are two people only, two men only, the ma'mum, the follower on the right of the imam, and then the woman stands behind. This hadith is recorded by Bukhari and Muslim. Straightening the lines is an obligation. يجب على الإمام ألا يدخل في الصلاة حتى تستوي الصفوف وأن يأمرهم بذلك وأن يلي التسوية بنفسه أو يأمر من يسويها. It is an obligation on the Imam not to start the prayer until the lines are straight, and that he commands them to do that, and that he takes personal care of straightening the lines or appoint someone to do that. Anas radiallahu anhu said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سووا صفوفكم فإن تسوية الصفوف من تمام الصلاة. Which means straight, this is in Bukhari and Muslim, which means straighten your lines, because straightening the lines is part of the completeness of the prayer. And there is another report that's not mentioned here, also authentic, which says سووا صفوفكم فإن تسوية الصفوف من إقامة الصلاة. Straighten your lines, because straightening the line is part of the establishment of the prayer. And Abu Mas'ud رضي الله عنه reported كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح مناكبنا في الصلاة ويقول استووا ولا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم. He used صلى الله عليه وسلم to rub over our shoulders in the prayer, which means make sure they are level with each other, and say do not differ, because then your hearts would differ. And this hadith is recorded by Muslim. And Umar bin Bashir radiallahu anhu said كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسوي صفوفنا حتى كأنما يسوي بها القداح حتى رأى أن قد عقلنا عنه ثم خرج يوما فقام حتى كاد يكبر فرأى رجلا باديا صدره من الصف فقال عباد الله لتسون صفوفكم أو ليخالفن الله بين وجوهكم. This is according to Muslim, Abu Dawood and others. And القداح here he says هي خشب السهام حين تنحت وتبرى واحدها قدح معناه يبالغ في تسويها حتى تصير كلمة يقوم بها السهام لشدة استوائها يقوم بها السهام لشدة استوائها واعتدالها. This is from Al-Nawawi's explanation of Sahih Muslim. He says Anaman Bashir is reporting Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to straighten our lines as if he is doing that to straighten the arrows, which means or you know, sometimes when the people line up the arrows, they line them when they are comparing them and matching them and sharpening them and making sure that they are all ready to use and so on. So they line them in a straight line, level with each other and so on, check the length, check the description it seems and so on. So it is as if he's doing that, which means he was straightening them the way those arrows would be straightened, until he felt that we had understood that from him and that there is no need for him to repeat anymore. So it became understood, and we did it properly all the time, or most of the time. Then one day he came out, which means for the prayer, to lead the prayer, and stood and was about to start the prayer with takbir. Then he noticed that a man was standing with his chest outside, sticking out of the line. So he said, servants of Allah, you either straighten your lines or Allah would turn your faces away from each other, which means your hearts away from each other, as is explained in the other hadith. لَيُخَلِفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ يَعِي بَيْنَ وُجْهَاتِكُمْ, in the directions, in your directions, which means in your hearts. So straightening the lines, even though it is an action of the body, but it has an effect on the hearts, and it also reflects what is in the hearts, as is the rule that some of the ulama set, that of ظَاهِرُ عَنْوَانُ الْبَاطِنِ, which means what is apparent is an indication of what is hidden. So when you see a person apparently good and righteous, that is an indication that inside he is good and righteous. That is the normal rule. But it's not, of course, the rule all the time, because there is hypocrisy and there is show off, and some people try to pretend that they are good when they are bad. So that is not a 100% true rule, but if somebody appears to be good, then the expectation is that what is behind is also good, and it cannot be the other way around, which means you cannot say that if a person appears to be bad, we expect that he is pretending and he is actually inside he is good. No, this is not, this is only what the Sufis say, that you know, if you see the Shaykh doing bad things and committing zina and doing whatever he does, this is only al-zahir. Don't look at zahir. He has something hidden. What is hidden is what's important, and this is just something to deceive the short-sighted, the ignorant, and so on. So there is no such thing. Al-zahir and al-batin comes here, that the apparent bad actions are an indication of badness at heart, evil at heart. So anyways, لَتُسَوَّنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ أَلَّا يُخَالِفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَقِيمُوا الصُّفُوفِ وَحَاذُوا بَيْنَ الْمَنَاكِبِ وَسُدُّوا الْخَلَلِ وَلِينُوا بِأَيْدِي إِخْوَانِكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُوا فُرُجَاتٍ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَمَنْ وَصَلَ صَفًّا وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ قَطَعَ صَفًّا قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ. This is recorded by Dawood, and it is declared authentic by Albani. Is in Abu Dawood, Sahih Abu Dawood. Ibn Umar is reported that Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Aqim al-Sufuf," which means establish the lines or take care of straightening the lines, "Wahadhu bayn al-manakib," and have your shoulders level with each other, "Wasuddu al-Khalal," and fill the gaps, "Walinu bi-aydi ikhwanikum," and be soft, or is there a better word? Layin.
Flexible.
Yeah, better. That's better. Be flexible in the hands of your brothers. Be flexible in the hands of your brother, which means if your brother tells you move a little bit forward, backward, to my way away from me, don't be rigid and not willing to move, as some people are, you know, are really, I mean, they are not willing to move even one tenth of an inch. وَلَا تَذَرُوا فُرُجَاتِ لِلشَّيْطَانِ, and do not leave any gaps for shaitan. And whoever connects a line, Allah connects him, and whoever breaks a line, Allah breaks him. So this is a great promise and a great warning, a great promise for the one who joins the line, who if he sees a gap, fills it or helps on closing it, and also a great warning for the one who intentionally breaks the lines or makes gaps in the lines. Anas radiallahu anhu, this hadith, yeah, we mentioned where it is. Anas radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Rusu sufufakum wa qaribu baynaha wa hazu bil a'naq fawalladhi nafsi biyadih إني لأرى الشيطان يدخل من خلل الصف كأنه الحذف," which means have the lines packed, pack the lines, وقاربوا بينها, and have them close to each other. And this is another important sunnah in the line that, you know, I like to emphasize, which is that the lines should be as close to each other as possible, and that includes the line of the imam. So it is wrong for the imam, for example, to pray here and the first line would be two rows away from him. It should be, the line should be close to the imam, the second line behind the imam, and then the other lines should be close to them, and they should have only enough space to make sujood, no more than that, to show the closeness of Muslims, both horizontally or vertically, if you want to say, or in both directions. رُسُّ الصُّفُوف, pack the lines, وَقَارِبُوا بَيْنَهَا, and bring them close to each other, وَحَاذُوا بِالْأَعْنَاقِ, and make your lines level with your necks. And that is why I also emphasize that what's important is to make the lines levels with the shoulders and the necks. Some people you find when they are straightening the lines, they look at their feet, and you find that everybody, when this prayer is about to start, they're bending their heads down and looking at their feet. And if they have big bellies, then that means that they have to look real hard to see their feet. And don't make fun of us, okay? If you do not have that. So anyways, that's wrong. That's wrong. And, you know, that means every rak'ah, one will have to get up and then start again looking at his feet and make sure that the feet are level with his alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. But actually there's no need for that. If people are used to being level with their brothers on both sides, with shoulders and with necks, then that will make the rest straight. For the feet, all that you need to do is bring your feet next to the feet of your brother. But it's not important that they are level with each other, because some feet are longer than others. Some people stand probably leaning one way other than the others. So what is important is the shoulders and the necks to be level. رُسُّ الصُّفُوفَ وَقَارِبُوا بَيْنَهَا وَحَاذُوا بِالْأَعْنَاقِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي, for by the one in whose hand is my soul, إِنِّي لَأَرَى الشَّيْطَانَ يَدْخُلُ مِنْ خَلَلِ الصَّفِّ كَأَنَّهَا الْحَذَفِ, I indeed see Satan or the devils go through the lines, through the holes in the lines, كَأَنَّهَا الْحَذَفْ, as if they are the little little black goats or sheep. So he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, see things that we do not see, and he could see how the devils go through the holes. And he's telling us that when you pack the lions, that cuts the way on lots of devils to be able to go through our lines. So this is a way of improving the level, the benefit of our prayer, because there will be less shayateen that will be able to go through and harm us in our prayer. So one thing is so we notice that usually, unless the imam is very concerned about the sunnah, you find that many of the imams, usually most of the imams in most of the countries, they do not take care about straightening the lines. Rather, as soon as the iqamah is made, they turn their back and they never face the people to make sure that their lines are straight. They turn their back. And I remember once I was in a masjid which seemed they were not used to the imam. I was giving khutbah or something, and they asked me to lead the prayer. Maybe it was khutbah, I forgot. No, it was not khutbah. It couldn't have been khutbah. I was giving a talk, and then they asked me to lead the prayer. So I turned to the people to straighten the lines, and the people thought that I did not know where the direction of Qibla, so they said it's that way. Because I'm turning my face in the opposite way to the Qibla. So he said, no, it's that way. Because they are not used to the imam turning after the iqamah is given. So this is common in most Muslim countries. Once the iqamah starts, actually he turns his face in the direction of the Qibla, and he says a lot of adhkar. Many of them he says them out loud, as you heard probably in the prayer, Isha prayer last night after the iqamah was given. Some of them without any evidence from the sunnah, and even if they had evidence, they are not said loud as it was you heard last night. So they say lots of adhkar while the iqamah has been given or after the iqamah is given, and then they just start the prayer immediately, or some of them say istawu, Allahu Akbar. That's not the sunnah. The sunnah, as you heard, is for the imam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, to be concerned about straightening the lines and make sure that they are straightened. And at the time of Omar, he did not mention this, even though he referred to it in the introduction to this section, that Omar used to appoint people to straighten the lines, because in his time the numbers of people became much more, and it was much harder for the imam to see behind and make sure that the back lines are straight. So it's an obligation on the imam to make sure as much as possible, of course, that the lines are straight. Somebody would say, how would you expect, for instance, in the Haram in Mecca, that the imam with 3 million people praying behind him, or 2 million, or whatever the number is, to wait until all the lines are straight and all in the proper way, with the men, the women praying behind and the men in front, so on. It's impossible. It would take probably the whole day to straighten the lines, and they will not be straight. So, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Saddidu wa qaribu," do as much as possible what you know is right, and try your best to be according to the sunnah. So, as much as it is possible, but that doesn't mean to drop it completely. And if it is not possible in some situations, it doesn't mean that to make it to take that as the rule, because that's the exception. So, how can you say, because if it is done like that in al-haram, therefore we have to do it like that in all masajid, and the imam doesn't have to straighten the lines? So this is inverted logic.
What about if the imam doesn't take it upon it? Is it?
Oh, it is his obligation. For us, our obligation as much as possible to do it with the people who are in our proximity, to make sure that they are level with us. But we cannot, go and say to the second line, third line, brother, go back, go front, etc. That's not our job, it's his job. And if he does not fulfill his job, we give him advice, we remind him, but it's not an obligation on us. And
his shoulder, not ours.
Right, exactly.
If the first rule, it him straight.
It will help, yeah. It will help if the first row is straight, exactly. That will help the other rows be straight. So the imam should at least take care of the first row being straight. And so in the haram, for example, the imam, even in the haram, he should at least make sure that the closest row to it is straight. And you know, if he, for instance, says, come forward, go backward, straighten your line,
kind of circle.
Yeah, I know, the circle, but.
And then the other prayers, some prayers, some tawaf.
Yeah. But tawaf stops. When the prayer starts, tawaf stops. So if he shows some concern about straightening the lines, even by words, people in the back rows will realize that this is important. The imam is saying, make your line straight, come forward, come backward. Women don't stand between men, and so on. So that will help a lot. But when he just say, istawu, Allahu Akbar, that teaches people to disregard this important sunnah.
Can I ask a question about the
go ahead, yeah.
There's actually a couple of situations that I was wondering about during the prayer.
Kif.
Yani,
is this for the prayer or the sunnah prayer?
Sunnah prayer.
Okay.
Because the sunnah is not to pass in the hand of the person who's praying.
Okay, if the person who's praying has a sutra in front of him,
there's no
sutra. Then it's his problem. Because you are required to respect his sutra if he has set his sutra. If he does not set his sutra, then it's his problem, it's not your problem. You just keep going, especially in the crowds. What we do usually when we pray sunnah is we pray behind people who are sitting. And anybody who tries to pass in front of us, we push him. And people sometimes try to fight, and we fight back. And this works usually. Sometimes if there are more than one or two, like when I am with some other brothers, we take turns. So two of us will prevent the others from passing. And it's interesting to note that the Shia take better care of that than the Sunnis in the Haram. So we find the Shia stand and prevent. They guard each other so that some of them pray, others do not allow other people to pass in front of them.
Another thing is during the fard prayer, the Haram, you see there is the Kaaba, but then you see another section. People form the row all the way until the wall of the Kaaba.
It seems that the ulama has given some fatwa in that.
So, number one, they're ahead of the imam if you consider them the closer to the Kaaba.
That's probably all exceptions. I mean, probably the ulama have given them some permission in that regard, because it's not
one section. I mean,
you know, the only way for the imam is, and I think they used to do that, is to pray in the Hijr of Ismail, because that way he will be inside the Kaaba, because the Hijr is part of the Kaaba. Then in that case, no matter where the people pray, they will be outside the Kaaba, and he will be certainly in front of them. But I don't know why they don't do that, because usually he prays next to Maqam Ibrahim. And I don't know why. I don't know.
I noticed that they leave it for priests. Many princes, when I was there,
yeah,
they were in the Hijr. But Sheikh, I don't know if you know, have you noticed, they have lines now.
Yeah, that's another thing. They have the marble in the form of lines to help people form lines. Black marble, white marble, black, white, etc. All around, even in the Sa'i, in the Masa, between Safa and Marwa.
Very briefly, when I was there with many ladies, they asked them, they don't move.
I know.
I mean, they will be making sujood, when you make sujood, her rear is in your head.
But he's saying women are in front of you. How would you put your head in front of women? I know, but this is
subhanAllah. I talk to her husband. I say, please, brother. They get very upset.
Yeah. So what can you do, subhanAllah? I mean, some cases you cannot control. Like especially if you come late, and if you are early, you can probably have a control on where you are standing to some degree. You can pray in sections which are only men and not with women. But if you come late after the prayer has started or it's about to start, then you find yourself, as soon as the imam says,
by the time they run, they're going to be running in front of everybody who's standing
up. I know, but sometimes you find only one woman or two women, or a woman with their husband. You don't want to fight to lose each other. And you find a man, a woman, a man, and then a line of men and women. Especially in the back, it becomes very hard. And lines, incomplete lines, so people just stand. They are so ignorant. They stand wherever they are. And you find that there's so much space in front of them, but they don't want to move. I step forward. They want to pray just where they got. And they block everybody else.
We have this problem in Richardson, that's just not to do it. They won't move. They'll be standing in the back, and the people are trying to get in the prayer, and then they're stuck, and you find that you have a part of the row, then there's a big gap in the middle, then you have another row going this way.
Well, it's done. Well, anyways, let's stick to the subject, inshallah. So, about straightening the lines. How are the lines straightened? Anas radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aqimu sufufakum fa inni araakum min wara'i dhahri." He says, "Straighten your lines because I see you from behind my back." Now, how could that be? Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the truth, and this is something, a miracle that Allah gave him, that he can see the lines. Even if he's turning his back, he can see how the people are standing behind him, as if there is a mirror in front of him, so that he can see behind. So he says, straighten your lines or establish your lines, because I can see you even from behind my back. And Anas said, وَكَانَ أَحَدُنَا يَلْزِقُ مِنْكَبَهُ بِمِنْكَ بِصَاحِبِهِ وَقَدَمَهُ بِقَدَمِهِ. And one of us would have his shoulder against the shoulder of his friend or his companion, and his foot next to his foot, or against his foot. Yalziq means like attach or make
press it against
his shoulder and his foot. And Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu said, رأيت الرجل منا يلزق كعبه بكعب صاحبه. I have seen a man of us pressing his heel to the heel of his companion. Both of them are in Bukhari. Now, al-kab, al-heel is here. Al-kab. Kab is the ankle. The ankle. Yeah, it means the ankle. الكعب هو الأنكل. لا 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 حظ للزارم. What? ما جاز الكعبين في النار. الكعب is this. It usually refers to the ankle, not the heel. But in this case, they would be the same in terms of pressing them against each other. And the question is, how could that be one for a normal human being, for a normal man? The muscles are formed such that his feet will be pointing to the right and left away from his body, and they cannot be pointing straight or inside except if there is a weakness in some of the muscles, because some of the muscles, as was explained to me by some doctors once, pull inside and others pull out to level the stand of the person. And alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So for a normal person, he stands like this with his feet pointing out, and if they are standing like this, like tazdan ya Abu Khalil, tazdan. طيب حضركم يأذن صار دخل خمسة دقايق.
السلام
عليكم. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay. So as I said, it is not easy because of the way people are formed for them to have their heels or their ankles touching each other. And so what does this mean? The description of this Sahabi, Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu, that they used to press their ankles against each other. It could mean, as I heard, you know, from asking, from this being discussed by various scholars, some of them say that this is meant to be, or he was referring actually to the foot, and he expressed, he mentioned the heel just to emphasize the importance of bringing them together. Others say that the heels are pressed together in certain posture of the prayer, not in the standing posture, but when would it be?
Rukua.
Rukua becomes easier actually. When you are in rukua, it's easier to do that than in standing. There's another hadith actually that maybe this same one by Nu'man, which is in Bukhari. It says the one of us used to have press his thigh against the thigh of his friend, of his companion, the knee against the knee, and the ankle against the ankle. So that's very hard to do for people, and it's either an exaggeration from the Sahabi to show how close packed they are, or that it is done in certain postures, and they say about this pressing the thighs and the knees, this could happen in sujood. The knee would touch the knee in sujood. In sitting, you can have the thighs next touching, pressing against the thighs. The ankles, I don't know how it can be done normally, unless people, you know, if people force themselves, and then they'd be standing in a very uncomfortable way. They force themselves to have their ankles touching the ankles of their neighbors, and that's why, for example, scholars like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen say that no, you'd not do it. Other, they remain silent and they leave it to the individuals, like, you know, Sheikh Albani and others. That, you know, depends on the ability of the individual. Some people are such that their feet, they stand normally, they stand like this. So for those people, it's easy for them to touch their ankle to the ankle of their neighbors, even if the neighbor is standing like this, his left foot is like this, pointing out, and the other guy, he can point his right foot so that it's actually the ankles are touching the ankles, so he can turn it way too much inside, the tip pointing towards his body. So I just want to indicate that Allahu A'lam, there are different opinions about this, and it is, if a person finds that it's not easy for him to do it, then at least again saddidu wa qaribu, as much as he can, to be pressing all of his body next to the body of his close neighbor from both sides. Okay. Sufufu al-rijal wa nisa. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير صفوف الرجال أولها وشرها آخرها وخير صفوف النساء آخرها وشرها أولها, which means the best of lines of men are the first, and the worst are the last, and the best of lines of women are the last, and the worst are the first. Which indicates that for women, for men, they start forming the lines from the front, and there is more virtue or merit for the first lines, for the front lines. And if the more you go to the back, the less merit there is. On the other hand, for women, they start forming the lines from the back, not from the front, and there is more merit for the back lines than the front lines. So if women come early, as I said, they pay in the back, not in the front. Now the question arises also in understanding this hadith, and there are different views of the ulama in this regard. If the women are in a separate section, because normally in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, as we know, they were praying together in the same masjid, the women behind the men. So he wanted to have a rule of that leads to separation between men and women as much as possible. No, without putting a hijab or a curtain, just by the women standing in the back and the men standing in the front, there will be a gap between them. Unless the lines become filled, then they'll be very close to each other. So what about the situation like here, where the women's section is separate, would it still apply that the best place for women is in the back lines and the worst is in the front lines? Apparently from the text of the hadith, from the literal meaning of the hadith, that still applies. And if a woman goes by this, if the women go by this, that's the best, because in that case they are applying the, they get the ajr for applying the simple obvious meaning of the text of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without going into too much arguments as to whether this was only in the case where Rasulullah wanted to separate the women from the men, or it is a general case. So Allah alam. So I would be leaning more towards the women standing, forming their line, standing from the back, so they fill the back line. If it's full, then they make a line in front of it. If it is full, they make a line in front of it. Allah alam.
Actually, I think, I mean, practicing this sunnah regardless of the level, so if they decide something.
Yeah, if they happen to be in a place where they are mixed with men, then they'll do it normally, exactly.
Automatically, they have this.
That's right. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Okay. فضيلة الصفوف الأول وميامن الصفوف. عن البراء بن عازب قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله وملائكته يصلون على الصفوف الأول, which means indeed Allah and His angels make salah upon the first lines, and the salah of the angels is dua, making dua for the people who are standing in the front rows, and Allah's salah is good mention and praise of those people, which brings a lot of good. When Allah says something good about someone, that means he is facilitated, his life is facilitated, and he is muwaffaq, you know, he gets tawfiq and blessings and so on. So Allah and his angels say salah or make salah upon the first rows. And also Al-Bara' radiallahu anhu said, "Kunna." This hadith is in Rikab Abu Dawood and in Nasa'i. In the report of Al-Nasa'i says, "As-sufuf al-mutaqaddima," instead of "as-sufuf al-awwal," same meaning, the front lines. And also Al-Bara' reported, "Kunna idha sallayna khalfa Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahbabna an nakuna an yamini يقبل علينا بوجه قال فسمعته يقول رب قني عذابك يوم تبعث عبادك. He says, when we prayed behind Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we used to like to pray to stand on his right, like the imam is here, so to stand on this side of the row, so that when he finished the prayer, which means that when he finished and turned, he used to, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as is described in different hadith, sometimes he used to turn on the right side to face the people, sometimes he would turn on the left side, but most commonly on the right side. So that's why they used to like to sit next to him, but on the right side, so that when he turned to them, they would face him. He'd be facing those people more, or first. And he said that he heard him say, رَبِّ قِنِي عَذَابَكْ يَوْمَ تَبْعَثَ عِبَادَكْ. This is a dua that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the prayer. O Allah, protect me from your punishment on the day when you resurrect your servants or your creation. Now, there is a hadith that people usually say in regard to this, which is إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى مَيَامِنِ الصُّفُوفِ, or something like that. And there is no such hadith, or it's not authentic. There is no authentic hadith that gives a special merit to the right line, to the right side of the line, and that's why this is the only thing that he brought here, which is that the Sahaba like to stand on the right, or to pray behind on the right side of the line, but there is no hadith that says that there is a specific merit for the right side of the line over the left side. So this is important to remember, because sometimes you find that people come to the prayer and because they think that there is more ajr praying on the right side than the left side, then you find the imam praying and you have a very long line on the right, or the line is most of the people standing on the right and two or three people only standing on the left. So this is wrong. The sunnah is for the people to center themselves around the imam, as was the practice of the Prophet ﷺ with his companions. Another hadith that is not authentic is what you may hear sometimes. People don't say it as often as they used to, but still you would hear it sometimes, because many people now know that it is not authentic, which is من وصل صف... no, not this one. This one is authentic, we just mentioned. إن الله لا ينظر إلى الصف المعوج. Allah does not look at a crooked line. Now, this is not an authentic hadith. We saw that it's an obligation on the believers to straighten their lines, because otherwise Allah would turn their hearts from each other. But there is nothing that says that Allah doesn't look at a crooked line. So we cannot establish such a thing, such a punishment, because this is a punishment. Allah doesn't look, which means doesn't look with mercy, which means does not have mercy on those who have a crooked line. So,
is this just an expression people says, or is it hadith?
No, they say. No, it's hadith da'if. I don't know this level now. I don't remember its level, whether it's da'if or maudu'. But I know that many people say Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and they stated, and it is not authentic.
You have to qeem as-sufuf. You cannot just...
Yeah, we mentioned this. Yeah, that's what we were discussing earlier.
I've been with some. I visited some mosques, and they have a line.
Yeah.
Door line, and people stand
no
in
way.
That line.
Yeah.
I think this makes more sense.
Make it faster.
Well, maybe it makes more sense, but it's good that you raised this question, because
strike the floor, you know.
Right. No, it's not that only. As we saw from the beginning of the discussion today, that straightening the lines is an obligation, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم took special care himself to straighten the lines, and he warned the Sahaba that if they do not do that, their hearts will differ, and he told them how to straighten the lines by making their necks level with each other and pressing their shoulders against each other and making their shoulders level with each other. And the Sahaba, they understood it, so that so they were packed together in their bodies, in their necks, in their faces, in their feet, all through, all from top to bottom. There is no report at all of the and this shows that straightening the lines is by itself an act of worship. Other than the prayer, outside the prayer, or in addition, as part of the prayer actually, as he said in one hadith, إِنَّ تَسْوِيَةَ الصُّفُوفِ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. And another hadith he said, مِنْ تَمَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. It is part of the prayer, it is an act of worship. And the acts of worship are al-ibadat tawqifiyah. They have to be done according to the way that they were revealed by the Prophet by Allah Azza wa Jalla to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot add to the ibadah or take away from it. And in regard to straightening the lines, as you heard, despite his great concern to make the line straight, he never drew a line on the ground and he said, here's the line, stand according to it.
Oh, okay.
So that is why the correct opinion of the ulama, you know, they differ. The ulama in our time and previous time, they differ. Is it permissible to make a line or not make a line on the ground to straighten the lines? They differ, but the correct opinion of Allahu A'lam is that it is a bid'ah, because it is adding. Bid'ah means introducing a ibadah or changing the ibadah in a way other than the way it was practiced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is misguidance. It's an act of misguidance, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do it, so we do not do it. And he could have done it, because you know they used to pray actually on the ground. They did not pray on carpets, and it would have been very easy for them to draw a line. But he would not make the line of the ground as a criterion for setting the lines, rather the shoulders and the necks. So he wanted Allahu A'lam every believer to take his own personal responsibility of being level with his neighbors from both sides. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
I have a question about the previous hadith that one of the Sahaba was praying with Rasulullah.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, that's a good question too. Like say the Imam is praying and there is one person praying next to him and then a third person comes. What does he do? You know, the Sahaba, because they did not know in that case, in the case of who was it? Ibn Abba, Jabir and Salam wa rahmatullah. Jabir and Jabbar bin Sakhr. They did not know. One of them stood on the right, on the left, and then the Prophet ﷺ moved him to the right. The other came and stood on the left, so he pushed them back together. Now that we know that you are not supposed to be standing on the same level with the Imam, how to do it in that case? The best way that has been described by the ulama in that regard is for the person who comes last, the second person that is, to come and stand right behind the Imam. Right behind the Imam, and then pushes or taps on the shoulder or the back of the one who is standing right to the right of the Imam to step back. So that man will step back so that he will be in line with him, and then he starts his prayer. So that way they will form a line exactly behind the Imam, with one of them right behind and the other to the right, which is, that's how it should be normally. Some people, what they do is they come and they stand on the other side of that man and they tap his back, so when he moves back, both of them will be on the right and the Imam on their left by himself. So this is not right. Or they get confused, some of them, one of them will stand and push the other and force him to move to his right or to his left or things like that. So that's all too much confusion in the prayer, when the prayer is supposed to be prayed in a smooth way with the least amount of disruption. So the best way, as I described, is to stand behind the Imam and tap the one in front of you, so that the one in front of you, all that he needs to do is step back one or two steps until he will be in line with you, and that's all the movement that he does for you. Then you start your prayer. In that case, you have not done anything to violate the prayer, and then you start. But don't do that, tap him, and then when he moves back, then you go away.
Oh, thank you.
What is this based on, Sheikh?
What's based on?
Yeah, what is it based on?
This action?
No.
It's just, you know, like ijtihad from the ulama, because that minimizes the action of each one of the two. The late one, he does not make any action during the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, all he does is just move back one or two steps, which he has to do it anyways, as we saw in the other hadith. And that fulfills the obligation of the people praying behind the Imam, not on the same line with him.
So that's like a prayer etiquette. I just want to add to it.
Yeah.
Like a prayer etiquette.
Right.
It's like table manners.
So they fulfill the sunnah without with the least amount of violations. Because you know, you could take the person by hand and move him and in a circle and bring him and make him stand next to you, or do other things to make sure that he stands behind the Imam with you. But that involves a lot of harakat or movements, and as we know in the prayer, one is supposed to be quiet and to move the least amount of motion possible, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uskun fi salatik." Be quiet or calm in your prayer.
I have a question, if you don't mind. It's
fine.
Is it like you're sitting on the train and you reach like you want to scratch? I see a lot of people do that. Is that? I don't think that is. That is.
Well, whatever action you do in the prayer, it should not. One should avoid doing actions unnecessarily. If one finds that, for example, he needs to scratch, something is hurting him and it's causing him to lose concentration on the prayer, then this is okay.
Okay.
Now some madhahib say that if one does three movements in the prayer that are not part of the prayer, then the prayer is invalidated. And this is, there's no absolutely no proof for this, no evidence. It could be that one makes only one movement and his prayer is invalidated. Like suppose, for instance, one is praying and let's see what's then somebody comes that he doesn't like and he makes a face at him, for instance, or something, you know, or emotion with the hand to show how much he hates him. If it is one movement only, it breaks the prayer. On the other hand, it could be that somebody has hakka, you know, he has
itching
in his body, and he has to keep itching all the time, even or scratching, but it is something he feels that he has to do. So in that case, it is okay. Allahu Akbar.
Ayo. You were talking about before when there is an imam.
The last rakah.
If you're in the last rakah.
Okay, let's say first that it is not the last rakah. I don't know if you can tell if it is the last rakah or not. If you can tell, let's say you can tell, then I would say sit behind the imam, and then when they stand, then you tap him to move back to you. If it is the very last rakah, Allahu A'lam, there's absolutely no text regarding this. So I would say the best would be for you to go and sit next to them, because otherwise you'll be praying by yourself. If you know that it's the last rakah. If you do not know, then pray behind them as I described earlier, and hope that it's not the last rakah, so that when they stand, you can pull him back. Allahu A'lam. Okay, the last issue, because it's almost Iqama time. من يقوم خلف الإمام. Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari رضي الله عنه said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ليلني منكم أو ليليني منكم أولو الأحلام والنهى ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. This record in Muslim, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah and others. Excuse me, which means let those who have ahlam, which means halm means mind or knowledge or something like that. والنهى means those who are in position of respect among others, who can let those be the people who come next to me, who pray next to me, and then those who are next to them in that thing, and then those who are next to them. In other words, the people of knowledge and respect should be the closest to the imam, and then the people next to them in that, and the people next to them. And there are many reasons for that, among which is that would make it possible for the imam to be substituted by someone else in case it's needed to substitute the imam. Like he broke his wudu or something like that and he had to leave, somebody who has the ability and knowledge would come in his place. Also, if the imam makes mistake in recitation of the Quran or in any matter of fiqh that he doesn't know about, somebody would be able to correct him or have knowledge and, you know, the ability to speak out or to say subhanallah, to remind him to be sure about himself and so on. And you know, there should be people of knowledge close to the imam to support him, as a support for the imam. But if the imam makes a mistake and somebody is standing very back, very far in the back to correct him, he will not hear it and it will not help. So that's why the people of Ulul Ahlam and Nuh should be closest to the imam. And this is actually an obligation. I see it on the imam. And when I was, you know, many years ago, the imam in this community, I used to make sure if I see somebody like a little boy or somebody that I know that he is not a person of knowledge standing right next to the imam, I ask him, please let this brother instead come and stand here, right behind the imam, and so on. So it's a responsibility of the imam to make sure that the people next to him are people of knowledge and respect in the community. So we stop here, inshallah, and there's just one or two issues regarding the jama'ah prayer that we have not covered. Inshallah, we'll cover them in our next meeting, which will be inshallah next week. And tomorrow, we'll be discussing a different subject of manhaj. That's it. هذا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.